Do you want to be a more successful leader of your company or any organization? I'm Rick Williams. Welcome to the Create the Future podcast. I have guests come on my podcast to share their stories about making difficult decisions that determine the future of their company. We learn what worked, what didn't work, and we have a little fun along the way. You will be a more successful leader if you listen to and learn from these stories. So I have a great guest today, and I'm excited to get started. George Dubeck is a truly unique individual. He identifies himself as the ultimate networker. According to George, you can get anything and everything you want by networking. George left his executive position with General Motors in Ohio and moved to South Florida. He does corporate training and coaching and wrote his book, Ultimate Networking. So, George, welcome to the Create the Future podcast. Tell us a little bit about yourself and your journey through life and your career to get up to this point.
Okay, well, it's great to be on your show, Rick, and I hope we provide a lot of valuable information to all the listeners. I'm going to be 80 years old in November, which is, I've been around the block a long time. I've been into many, many different businesses, from corporate to multi-level marketing, direct sales. I've owned my own companies. I've written books. I've been into movies. I had my own radio show. I was a stained glass artist. I was a professional flamenco dancer. We can go on and on and on.
Oh my gosh, you've done everything. All right, this is great.
Pretty much, yeah. But I guess the biggest decision I made early on was I started work as an engineer at General Motors up in Ohio. And I worked there for 18 years, moving up the corporate ladder. I was in the executive positions. And I was about, probably 40 some years old. And I said, I looked at my life and I go, I was up in Warren, Ohio at Packard Electric Division of General Motors. It was a big plant, 12,000 people worked there. We had probably 500 engineers. And I said, is this it? I mean, I'm 40 years old. Is this my life just going to continue day to day going corporate, making a lot of money? I had a great job, great position. It was wonderful. And I said, there's got to be something else going on in life. And I decided at that point in time, this was 1985, I bought my job out. At that time, they were trying to reduce the workforce and they wanted to try to get rid of people at all stages, you know, hourly workers, salary workers. They wanted to try to reduce the workforce. So they were giving what were called buyouts. So they would give you a certain stipend to leave. So I said, hey, this is a great opportunity for me to cash in my job, so to speak. And I still had vested rights for retirement. I was there 18 years. So I still got some retirement. So it was kind of a safe haven, if you want to look at it that way. So I decided, okay, I'm going to take a shot. I bought my job out and my wife and I, we moved to South Florida in 1985. And I've been here ever since. And at that point, I became an entrepreneur and involved in a lot of the stuff I mentioned already, writing books and being in entertainment, being in movies, stuff that I would have never done if I had stayed at General Motors. So, you know, like they say, sometimes it's better to be safe than sorry. But in my case, it was kind of an adventure. I got the corporate life as part of, my years. And then I got to be an entrepreneur, entertainer, and have fun too. So I did a lot of stuff, very diverse.
Well, that's great. I mean, this is a classic situation of saying, hey, there must be something better. I don't have a clear path laid out in front of me, but I'm willing to take a risk at this point in my life. Did you think about, is this a risk? Am I willing to do it? I mean, how did you think about that as a important career decision, including moving at that point? How did you think about, you know, the risk options? Why in the heck should you be doing this?
Well, this is one thing that I learned through all the years in my lessons is that I can honestly say that most of the big decisions I made in my life, I made on my own. And if I would go back and do it again, I'll be honest with you, I would have spent more time seeking expert advice and talking to a lot of people before I made all these decisions, mm-hmm. whether they were good or bad. And that's one lesson that I try to tell young people. Don't think you're so smart. I always thought I was really smart and this really sharp guy. And I'd have to say, I'll be honest with you, I'd say 85% of my major decisions really didn't turn out as good as I really thought they would. And again, I'm a college-educated guy. I consider myself smart, but I think I would have done better statistically if I would have spent more time talking to other people, getting their input, whether it's family, friends, professional people. And I highly recommend that everybody do that before they make major decisions. Talk to a bunch of different types of people, and you don't have to listen to them except to get their input. So that's my
Yeah.
advice.
What did you, so in this case, you didn't really do that. You just said, hey, I'm going to make a jump here. What did your wife have to say about it? Did you
Well, she wanted to
involve
move
her
to
with
a
this
she
or?
wanted to move to Florida or, a nicer climate. So she was kind of on board with it. And of course, when we moved to Florida, we started this was in 1985. We started the largest singles network in South Florida. It was called the Fannie Mae Singles Network. And we had 10,000 single people in our database at that time. And we were teaching people how to find mates, matchmakers, basically. We had courses and classes. This is before online dating. And we used to teach people how to use their social network to find a mate or a date. And that's how I got into networking. That's another thing that I specialized in. I've written books on it. It's called Ultimate Networking, where you do networking in business. You can also do networking socially within your friends and find relationships. And you can also, and more people today are really buying into doing networking within your own family because people are separated now. They're all over the place, they're scattered. And so, what I do is I also teach people how to network within their own family to keep the family connected and tied together, which is critical.
I will just share a little bit of a story with you, which is why I asked you about your wife in this. In your making the decision, one of the podcast interviews that I've done was for a really impressive guy who had had a career in the Marine Corps, and he had stepped out of his career into civilian life, and was trying to make a decision about should he make a major job change the way you're talking about it, and I said, well. How and he had never done something like that before. I mean, he had never had a private sector important executive position, yet he was talking about starting his own company. And I said, well, where did you get the courage to take that risk? And I thought he would tell a story about, we learn how to have courage and do difficult things in the Marine Corps. That's not what he said. He said, I talked to my wife, and she's the one who gave me the courage to actually do it. And I 100% agree with what you're saying, that too often we sort of don't take our guard down and be open to hearing, getting advice and counsel from other people. Not that they should be telling us what to do, but we will make better decisions if in fact we do seek advice and counsel from others, our spouse, but also our professional peers and, a coach. You didn't, for instance, hire a an executive coach or something like that to help you figure out what your next job. You didn't do any of that. And a lot of times those kinds of things are will help us make better decisions.
Well, the one other strategy I think is great to try and utilize, and I'm doing it more and more today, is the Ben Franklin list. Did you ever hear about that? Where when you're making a decision, you put a list and you put the pros and cons, and you list all the pros of that decision and all the cons, and then use that as an assessment tool besides getting expert advice. So there's a kind of a decision-making process that people can do. But to be honest with you, when I was young, I was naive to all that. I didn't really do any of that. It's like take a flyer, like, okay, I'm going to just do this. I don't know. Just out of the clear blue, like, hey, I'm going to do something different. Didn't really have any kind of, we just did it. We just wanted to get into a warmer climate, wanted to experience life in a different way, and we did that. So now, whether it was good or bad, it just is what it is. You make the best of everything, no matter what decision you make, whether it's good or bad, then you got to make the best of that. You know, what did Zig Ziglar used to say? Make lemonade out of lemons.
Did you, if you jump ahead 10 years or 15 years, did you end up selling a company or doing something like that that would be another significant decision and deal with it in a different way than you did? You're deciding to leave your job at Ohio?
Yeah, well, actually, after my wife and I sold our singles business because she got pregnant, we started a singles business from 1985 to 1992. Then she got pregnant, and we decided that was not the business for us. It was too many late night and parties and dealing with all these single people. So we sold that business and we got into high tech. We started a company called WebStream. And what we did at that time, this was back, like I said, in the mid 90s, we started hosting websites. Then we started building websites for companies because that's when the internet first started. And then
Yeah.
we started doing search engine optimization and we built a big company and it's now called Sierra Streaming. And about 10 years ago, I decided to leave my company, my second company, which it wasn't corporate, it was privately owned, but I was the vice president and part owner. And I decided at that point, hey, again, I want to do something even outside the box of being in a structured environment. So
Yeah.
that's when I wrote my books. I wrote six books. I did more public speaking. I got on television. I was in movies. So I did a second leap at that point in time. I just left my own company. And actually, my wife and partner are still running the company. We're called Sierra Streaming. We're the second largest podcast streaming company in the United States right now.
Oh, well, that's great. Well, did you, again, I'm just trying to go through, encourage you to go through and think about how did you decide to do that? I'd like to hear it, then I'll share with you my story about deciding to write my book, Create the Future, which is sort of the basis for this podcast. But
Yeah. I mean,
you
most,
go through
like I
it
said,
differently
most of my
than
decisions, Rick, were just out of my own mind. I didn't spend time
okay.
talking to a lot of people about it. And even my wife, when I told her that I'm going to leave the company, she was kind of upset. She goes, "Well, wait a minute. You know, you're leaving like a really large income here, you know, to go out and venture and do like whatever." And I said, "Well, again, I want to experience something different." So maybe that was just it. I was just inspired to have a different lifestyle.
Well, that's interesting. You were obviously a well-educated, good-looking, successful guy, but in many ways you're sort of like a wanderer who's saying, oh, gee, I did this, now I'm going to just go do something else. And that's kind of been your life.
Right. Yeah, I'm always juggling a lot of balls. Like right now, I've got five major projects I'm involved in. I have a brand new TV show called America's Real Deal. It's kind of like Shark Tank on steroids. I'm also heavily involved in credit card processing. And I don't know if you or your listeners are aware of this, but the general public is going to start paying the credit card processing fees. In the old days, the merchant would always pay credit card processing fees, 3 to 4% on every transaction. Well, I don't know if you noticed, but gas stations are switching. They have two prices now. Credit card price and cash price. Well, restaurants, doctors, dentists, beauty salons are now going to start switching and transferring that processing fee to customers. So I'm heavily involved in that business. I also help people do government grants, tax reimbursements, tax credits. I'm involved in that, helping business owners get money that they don't know about, that type of thing. And then I'm on a speaking tour. I do speaking. My books, I have six books that I promote my books. I also help companies raise funds, investors. I bring investors to founders and startups. I mean, I'm just like really busy, man. And then I guest on a lot of podcasts, and I'm actually thinking about starting my own podcast, but I've been so busy, I haven't had a chance to really get going with that.
Okay, I have to ask you, when you were writing your first book, why did you decide to write a book? People will say, that is a crazy idea. I went through this process myself as somebody who's done a lot of writing, had published a lot of my articles published all over the world, And people keep saying, "Well, have you written a book?" And anyway, so tell me about why did you decide to write a book?
Well, I've always had the idea to write books, but there's a couple of problems with the books. Actually, the books are more like just adding credibility. The value of books today, in fact, I'll be honest with you, I wrote these books in 2019, and I'd say a year after I wrote the books, they're already outdated. In fact, I look at my own book and I go, this book is outdated. There's so many different things that are happening. The world is moving so fast, cell phones, the internet, AI, technology. That again, some of my favorite books, like Dale Carnegie's How to Win Friends and Influence People, none of that stuff works. A little bit of it works on certain people, but in general, the world is like so chaotic now. It's like there's nothing that's regimented, structured, and disciplined to where you can say, yes, this will work. If you do this, it works. Nothing works all the time, everywhere with everybody. It's crazy. It's a crazy world. In fact, I'll be honest with you, Rick, sometimes I feel like I'm an alien in this new world. It just feels weird.
Okay, well, you don't look like an alien to me, or at least that's not how I see it depicted in the movies. I mean, just to share a little bit about my experience with this, as I said, I have done a lot of published writing and speaking within my professional community, the Harvard Business School, and the larger professional community in New England. And people would say, "Well, Rick, have you written a book?" And I say, "Well, like, why? I mean, should you not pay attention to me if I haven't written a book?" And in truth, that is what a lot of people are saying. They say, "Well, if you haven't written a book, then, you haven't proven that you're really a expert or blah, blah, blah." And I thought a lot about what did I have to say that would be worth actually writing a book about. And for people who haven't done it, it is hard work. It's a huge undertaking. And early in my career, I spent 10 years as a management consultant with Arthur D. Little, working with very senior leaders of both the private sector and the public sector. And usually they were hiring me and Arthur, my case teams at Arthur D. Little to come in and help them make some really tough decision that they were worrying about. Now, they often didn't say that, but that is in fact what they were doing. And as I thought about it, I was saying to myself, well, I can look back at the process that I went through with a number of these clients of, okay, helping them think about what they're really trying to accomplish, what the competition looks like, what the technology and the market's going to, and all this sort of stuff. And I said, I'm going to write a book about how you use those tools for people who are not going to spend $500,000 and hire McKinsey or BCG or Deloitte or someone like me in a former life to help them make that really tough calls for their company." And that's what my book was about. It's more of a handbook. How do you actually go through the process of making difficult decisions? What would success look like? Be creative about what your real options are. Anyway, having now written the book, and it's not a textbook, but it's more in the sense of here are the steps, here are leadership team exercise, that sort of thing. If you talk to people like yourself and say, again, who's not the big corporate, we're going to spend $1 million and try to bring somebody in to help us do this, they're making decisions exactly the way you're talking about it. I mean, the details are different, and a lot of cases people sought the advice of a wife or colleagues or what have you. But that's why I wanted to do this podcast, because I think it helps people to hear real stories and say, okay, I can relate to that story much more than I can relate to reading a book about it. And I mean, I hope people will get my book, and if they want to take their leadership team through some, I think what will actually help them work leadership team exercises, so whiteboard exercises, they're in the book. But I also think that most people will actually learn more by hearing your story and hearing how you translated your vision into the life you're actually leading. I mean, I'm firmly convinced that that's true for most people.
Well, one thing I'd recommend for you to do is make a not a book itself, a handbook with a checklist. All the aspects of what you go through to make decisions, either in a corporate environment or business environment. And you don't need to write a whole book anymore. All you need to do is write bullet points. What are the most important points, and a checklist, and have people go through the checklist, say, hey, did I do this? Did I do that? Did I do this? Did I use this strategy? And then you could just have a nice handbook, which you can use as a giveaway, and it will enhance your credibility that, hey, you put your thoughts in a published format. And with AI, in fact, right now, Rick, I'm writing a book called How to Survive and Thrive in a High-Tech and AI World. And what I'm doing is I wrote bullet points. I wrote 20 bullet points, and I'm having a person that is a friend of mine take AI and generate some content that fills in the blanks between those bullet points. And then I'm going to make a handbook and just basically use that. Because again, when you write a handbook, you can revise it next year. It's simple. It's a simple process. So, because again, the world changes, but I recommend you do something along those lines, and I think it'll be great.
Yeah, no, I think that's really good. I like lists and break down the barriers to thinking outside your normal patterns and all of that. I completely agree with you. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah,
You know, let's
and with your experience and background, and it would just enhance your own credibility of being a podcast host, or even if you're going back and hiring yourself out to help other companies or doing coaching.
yeah. Well, I want to take advantage of having you here on the podcast for a second and talk about why networking and connecting is so valuable. I mean, you've become the expert in that, and some people understand it, and a lot of people don't. Why? Give us the brief on why that's can be valuable to you as a leader in any capacity.
Well, I wish I would have started at a much younger age. In fact, I tell my grandkids that are in college, I tell them, start your database right now. I say, when you go to school, get all the contact information from your professors, from kids that you meet, because when you leave school, you're going to go, geez, I wish I could t get in touch with that professor. Or I remember that kid I met in science lab, and I'd like to now connect with them. So start your database. And I'm telling you, Rick, every day I add probably 5 to 10 new names into my database. Some of it's just an email address. I have 25,000 people that are legitimate email addresses in different categories. But then people that are more of value, I put them into my contact file with their name, address, what they do. So I build two networks. One is a database of just email addresses that are just general people, and the other one is my select inner circle. And then with that inner circle, I bet every day I got one or two phone calls. People call me up and say, hey, George, you know a good personal injury attorney? Hey, do you know a good landscaper? You know a good doctor? You know, it's like I became this center of influence just by building a database.
And if you're the going up the, I'm going to say the corporate ladder or even in your own company, why is that valuable to you?
Yeah, again, even in your own company, the people that work for you should have all their contact information, because something may happen to you. You may leave the company, or the company might get rid of you, and then you got all those contacts that you lost access to. So, it's very important. And then also to just keep in touch with important people, to be able to, and especially now we got the cell phones, man. I mean, you can keep your inner circle right on your cell phone and then communicate with them periodically. Just call. In fact, I suggest to people, don't call people up on business all the time. Every once in a while, just call up one of your associates, say, hey, what's going on? What's going on in your life? You taking a vacation? You having fun? Just chat. And there's something about that instead of just always business. Sometimes people that you talk to, it's just always business, but find out. Also, in my database of my inner circle, I put down their wife's name, they have kids, where they went to college, little pertinent bits of information that enhance your social connection with these people.
I just think this is such a good example of thinking outside of your small comfort zone of the people who are most successful are those people who say, yeah, okay, I do know what's going on right around me, but I want to be open and learning from others. You know, get their ideas. It may not be the right exact idea for what I'm doing now, but I at least want to hear what they're saying. And hearing, I say, for instance, in doing whiteboard exercises, and I don't care what the topic is, the important thing is to break down the barriers and say it's okay to put a crazy idea on the whiteboard, because that crazy idea may get you to thinking about other connections with other people or other ways of thinking about solving the problem that you never would have come up with if everybody's saying, oh, gee, well, just incrementalize. And I think it's the same way with connections with other people, that what you're suggesting is that if you keep track broadly with the people you run into, that those are the people who are going to be a resource to you at a time you have no expectation today of how that will be can be valuable to you. And indeed, it is valuable over time for all sorts of reasons you could never write down if you said, well, why would I care who this person is? Because a year from now or 2 years from now, I won't be in contact with them. Why would I care? The truth is, you don't know why they'll be valuable, but I'm certain that some number of them will be valuable. And you're
Oh, definitely.
making
Yeah.
such
Yeah.
an
I mean,
excellent point.
everybody in your life has value, and you can't communicate with everybody all the time, but it's all timing, the right place, the right time. Also, one other thing I recommend that people do is they brand themselves. Today, it's important to brand yourself as something because, like, somebody like me, I'm doing a million different things. Okay. But I've branded myself as the ultimate networker. And actually, Rick, when I go to events and people know me, they introduce me to other people as the ultimate networker. They don't even use my name. So I've actually branded myself, and everybody knows that I am involved in connecting. I have a big database. Everybody just knows that because of my name, Ultimate Networker. So everybody think about what is your specialty? In fact, when my grandkids call me up, they say, "Hey, hi, Grandpa." I go, "Who?" I make them say, "Oh, hi, Ultimate Networker." So I even brand myself to my grandkids.
Is that what your name tag says?
Well, I don't use name down here. We don't use name tags anymore, rarely. But
Okay.
everybody, like I said, they know me. Anybody that knows me introduces me to other people using the Ultimate Networker logo thing.
Okay. Well, give us as we're wrapping up here, give us a quick summary. Who are you going to be when you grow up here?
Well, what I'm doing right now is I'm actually forming an initiative called the Founders League. And what we're doing is, and this is really crazy, off the wall, but we're putting a mastermind group together of 10 to 15 guys that are experts in different fields, like in medical, in health, in nutrition, and so forth, in the environment. And we're going to run for president in 2028 as a group, as an independent group. We're not going to be
Okay.
affiliated with any parties. We're going to run as a group because we have decided that one man, I don't care who it is not smart enough, competent enough to run this complex country that we have. Just think about it, what you would have to know to run this company. You'd have to a country, you'd have to know real estate, negotiations, business, leadership. It goes on and on and on. And there's not one person that I could think about in this world today that knows everything enough to be in these positions. So we're creating a mastermind group of experts that know those specific categories. So there's my big, and the reason I'm doing it is to have a better life for my kids, my grandkids, and my great grandkids.
Well, that's great. Well, George, I want to thank you for sharing your experiences and your enthusiasm. It's really interesting hearing your life story as a unique individual, and I know that people have gotten great value from hearing your story. So, thank you again. If
And well, let me
our
just mention
audience
that
wants to learn more about you,
if they want to get a
learn more
hold of
about
me,
you, get in touch with you?
my website is theultimatenetworker.com. If you want to get in my database, just sign up and get in my newsletter. Again, it's the ultimate networker, all one word, .com. They can get a hold of me, find my books, and get in touch with me anytime.
All right, well, that's great. I want to thank our audience for taking the time to engage with our guests and learning from the guests. Our guest, George has been a great contribution. I hope you found our discussion compelling, valuable, and also engaging. I have two requests. The first request is that you follow this podcast on your favorite podcast channel. By following the podcast, you'll hear when the next podcast episode is out. Second, if you have a compelling story to tell about tough decisions you had to make, come on the podcast as a guest. Go to rickwilliamsleadership.com and then go to the podcast page on the website. Again, that's rickwilliamsleadership.com. Be well.